We begin today's Abounding Grace on a note of triumph.
We're reminded of the victory when we look to the cross. The devil has been shamed. He knows that he has just a short time, and it seems as if he's pulled out all the stops. And you know what, believers? It's time to no longer cooperate with him. Don't offer him areas of your life through compromise and sin. Don't cooperate with his, but rather, as Paul says in Ephesians, stand fast. Put on the whole armor of God that you might fight the good fight. Jesus has taken back that authority over the kingdoms of this world, and as you live abiding in Christ, you live in Jesus' authority.
This is amazing grace.
This is Abounding Grace. Glad to have you with us. In a moment, we'll turn things back over to Pastor Ed Taylor as he resumes his chapter-by-chapter study of Genesis. As we head into chapter 9, the flood is now over, and it's time for a new beginning. Here, God is establishing certain institutions, like the family, government, and the church. It's not hard to see. Mankind has drifted away from God's plan and purpose for these institutions. Here's Pastor Ed.
Take your Bibles, open them to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, in a Bible study that I've entitled, Everyone Sins. Everyone. And we ended chapter 8 last time learning about the incredible faithfulness of Noah, his enduring patience during the most difficult time in human history, this worldwide judgment. And I mean, even using the word difficult, it can't really describe this worldwide judgment of sinful man. It was devastating. And yet, in the midst of it all was the ark and the grace of God and the rescuing power of God. And if anything that we learn from the life of Noah is that you can live a moral, upright, righteous life in the power of God in the midst of a very dark world. That the world does not have to corrupt you. You don't have to go along with the program, but you can be extremely individually distinct in your relationship with Jesus. So notice now in verse 1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And this command to multiply is now repeated. Exiting the ark, it's a time of new beginnings. And we love new beginnings. We love new beginnings if it means the recovery after disqualifying sin or falling on our face. We love the new beginnings of taking steps of faith and going from glory to glory and strength to strength. And these are new beginnings, even though you have to use your sanctified imagination to think of what a difficult world that they walked out into. A world that's just experienced the judgment of God. It was a world filled with death and devastation. Or you could even say it was a lifeless world. And God's instruction in a lifeless world was multiply. Bring life where there is lifelessness. And after destroying man, why would God want to multiply again? I mean, God loves human beings. He loves his creation. I mean, when you look at it and you see what happened in the first group that was created, you might step back and go, why again? Well, because God loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves humans. He has a plan for you. He wants what's best for you and me, for your life to be fruitful, for you to multiply his love and grace to others. And you know, this command here in chapter 9, verse 1, it was fulfilled. I looked up, there's a website where you can see in real time what the population is. And of the day I looked this up, the population now is 7,958,635. And it just keeps clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking. And God starts over with Noah instead of Adam. And notice in his command, he leaves off the instruction to have dominion over the earth. He leaves off that instruction. Why? Because Noah doesn't know it yet, but we can see it. He doesn't understand it yet in its fullness, but we can see it today because we have this biblical truth unveiled, that the dominion of the earth has been taken by Satan. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 31, that the judgment of this world, now is the judgment of this world, Jesus says. Now the ruler of the world would be cast out. And later on, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul would say to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says, "Who the minds of the God of this age has blinded." In Luke chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "The devil said to him, 'All this authority I give to you,'" in trying to tempt Jesus. The Bible says that the world is under the sway of the wicked one. And so you look around and you can see those things. A lot of people today, and maybe that's where you sit listening to me right now, you're one of those many that blame God for the devastating effects of sin in this world. You're blaming God for what you see. You're blaming God for the murderous rampages and devastating things in schools and parades and in life. But in reality, the blame goes directly to the devil. It lays upon his shoulders. Sin has wrecked it all. It's the devil alone that is the thief and a robber and a liar and a murderer from the beginning, causing and creating havoc around the world. But then we know that when Jesus came, he came to confront the devil. He came to meet him and defeat him face to face. Let me show you this. Would you turn over to Colossians chapter 2? I want you to see it in your Bibles. I'm going to read it to you from the New Living and in the New King James. But turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and consider the power of God. There are a lot of changes and a lot of different legislation and laws that could truly help man today. But the true essence of help for man is for a man and a woman to be born again. That's where life change takes place. That's where a murderer no longer murders, where he no longer invents things in his mind. And you can't legislate morality. Morality is a heart issue. It is to the depth of who a person is in their relationship with God. And look what's available to you today. Notice with me, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. First, I'll read it to you in the New King James, Colossians 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And listen to verse 15. Isn't this glorious? "Having disarmed principalities and powers, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Listen to how the New Living translates this. "You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature that was not yet cut away. And then God made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all of your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross." And then he says, "In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." We're reminded of the victory when we look to the cross. The devil has been shamed. He knows that he has just a short time, and it seems as if he's pulled out all the stops. And you know what, believers? It's time to no longer cooperate with him. Don't offer him areas of your life through compromise and sin. Don't cooperate with his, but rather, as Paul says in Ephesians, stand fast. Put on the whole armor of God that you might fight the good fight. Jesus has taken back that authority over the kingdoms of this world. And as you live abiding in Christ, you live in Jesus' authority. One of the things the devil doesn't want you to know, I think it's high on the list of the things the devil doesn't want you to know, is the power and authority you have in Christ. That not everything just happens to you. That you're not just merely a victim of circumstance, but that you and I live in the victory of Jesus because he died and rose again. And you can live over the victory of sin and death. You no longer have to be bound or shackled to bad habits or to old ways of thinking. You can be reminded that you're a new creation in Christ. And while many people cooperate, as many of us we did cooperate in the darkness of this world. Now, in the light of Christ, you live in victory. Generational change starts with you. The change in your family starts with you. And I know what a discouragement that can be to you, because you think, well, it has started with me, but no one else is following. No. It starts with you, and then we allow God to do the work. And don't give up. But Ed, it's been 5 years. Okay, be faithful. It's been 10 years. Be faithful. It's been 15 years. Ed, it's been 55 years. And yet, look at you. You've been faithful unto the Lord. Remain faithful. Finish well. A couple of things I've been noticing in these last days that are very concerning to me, and I think you would join me in prayer. Number one is that the message of the gospel is no longer exciting or encouraging, and now what we're seeing in many believers' lives and over the last few years is that they are doing exactly what the Bible predicted. Even though we may not have believed it could be, it's happening in our generation where the Word of God, they're not enduring sound doctrine anymore. And so what? They're looking for teachers to submit themselves to so that their ears will be tickled, so that they will find a message apart from the simple, basic doctrines of God. Some weird view, some weird addition, something that gets our eyes off the simplicity of Jesus Christ and to some weird teaching, some weird book, some weird prophet that is false to begin with, some new thing on YouTube, and not just loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And it concerns me. It concerns me over and over again to see people that were once a vital part of this church now following some weird thing and unwilling to come back to the simplicity of the gospel. Church, I commend you to endure sound doctrine. Endure it. Receive it. Let God do a thorough work. And you know, there's a second thing I'm noticing in these days, especially in the last few years, is that many people are not finishing well. They're not finishing well. A lot earlier than I anticipated. Some that I've seen in my life have shocked me. You know how the Bible says that sometimes even the elect will be deceived. And I'm like, what does that mean? And it's like almost like the Lord showing me, here are people that you saw, that you walk in, they're just in a place of deceit. They're in a place of backslidden. They're in a place of making decisions. And it just grieves me. And I'm sure you're seeing the same thing. Watching it with your own eyes. The stumbling and not finishing well. And I commend you, church, finish well. Endure. Persevere. Remember what we learned in Hebrews? There was that time where Paul was writing to the Hebrews and he said, you have need of endurance. And it's true. We have need of endurance, especially these days. Notice verse 2. He says, and the fear of you and the dread of all, coming back to Genesis 9 now, shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. And every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I've given you all things, even as the green herbs. And so now God, instead of using the phrase dominion, he speaks of this dread. It's a different relationship with the animals after sin. And God has placed a dread in animals of man. And this is good, because if this dread wasn't there, they could have exterminated those 8 people right away. And it's all done, because the lions are upset about it, and boom, just taking them out. But that is a good thing. Verse 3, God never intended for man, notice, to trash the earth. We're to be good stewards of God's creation. It never intended for us to trash the earth or to trash the animal kingdom, but to wisely use it for health and for nourishment. And yet it's in human nature to take a good thing and ruin it. And here again is a place where those that would want to, especially in our state, but now most states, now that marijuana is legal, would say, well, look right here, it says, God has given me all the green herbs. So it's okay to be under the influence and smoke pot. And no, it's not okay. And if it was really okay, then grow some poison ivy and rub that all over your body. No, that's not the herb that I want. I know, because you make a distinction, don't you? And so sometimes God makes a distinction for us. He says, well, God gave it all to us. Yeah, but not all of it's profitable for you. Not all of it is what God wants for you to be under the influence. We'll see that later on. We'll see that being under the influence makes you a very vulnerable person, even after the first drink, even after the first. We'll get to that in a moment. Notice verse 4. He says, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply it. Let me just speak to an interesting doctrine. It actually has floated through the church recently, and that is there is this false teaching that says after sin, man is no longer made in the image of God. Now man is made in the image of man. And I want you to notice after the fall, after the judgment, I want you to see the foundation of human government, how God is establishing capital punishment. One of the ways, speaking of this, he says after the flood, after sin, that man, it says in verse 6, was made in the image of God. And it's just those that would want to catch your ear and go, man is, well, of course, in one sense, men are made in the image of men, in the sense that you carry along that human perspective and humanity, and that sinful nature is passed on. But your value and your worth doesn't come from you being created in the image of another man. Your value and worth transcends humanity. You, your value, your worth is in your Creator and the attributes you share with your Creator. And that false teaching is very easily dismissed here to Noah. Now, this is the first prohibition of eating raw and bloody meat. It was both a dietary caution, but also a spiritual truth. We'll learn later on as you continue in your reading, and those of you that read through the Bible this year, you read in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And not only do you have the value of blood here, but you have in this section the basic building block for human government, for any law-abiding society. And interestingly enough, God establishes here that capital punishment is essential in keeping the peace in any society. And notice that God instituted it, not man. This was not the creation of Noah. This is in the direction after the flood, beginning to repopulate and multiply. God institutes, and it becomes a key foundation in the Mosaic law, handed down through Moses. I know capital punishment is a hotly debated topic today, both sides taking very strong and passionate opinions. But according to Romans chapter 13, would you turn there with me? Romans chapter 13. According to Romans chapter 13, in these first few verses, capital punishment is the responsibility of human government. Notice Romans 13. And certainly it is misapplied in cultures. Certainly injustices take place when it comes to capital punishment or really standing before any human court. So God is not establishing that it will be carried out justly every time, because apart from God, lots of injustice takes place. However, that doesn't undermine the building blocks that God gives. Notice in verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. That's a statement of the sovereignty of God. Whether you agree with the government or you don't agree with the government, according to God, there's no authority except from God. Whether you like your boss or you don't like your boss, there is no authority other from God. God has placed the authorities in our lives for our good and for our discipleship. I don't want you to read Romans 13 that this says that there is no authority except from God, or don't read it this way, there is no authority that you don't like that isn't from God, or that you like. Don't insert that. It says, well, I love my boss. That's the authority from God. Oh, I can't stand my boss. That's not the authority of God. No, Paul is very clear, writing to predominantly slaves in a very oppressive, authoritarian, anti-God government, the Roman government. And he says, the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And that's hard to accept when you don't like the direction of the government. It's a hard statement to accept. Many try to get around this. instead of simply learning, like the Bible says, to mind our own business and live a simple life. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know that works in any culture. It works in any government. It works in any country. It works with any leadership structure. As we just mind our own business, live simply before our God, love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Notice verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But that if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. We happen to live in a country with representative government where we're invited to participate. And I believe we should participate in what we've been invited to. I believe we should prayerfully walk into the areas of government, the areas of voting, and pray, not your conscience, but pray a biblical vote. Pray for a biblical decision. You know, your conscience isn't always reflective of what God's word says. And so take a step and honor God through participating. You know, not everyone around the world can participate in their government. Not everyone in the world can have their voice represented. Not everyone in the world can step into and speak up and be heard or be listened to. However, in our representative, in our form of government, there will be seasons when you're unhappy with who was elected. And you will be unhappy with the laws of the land. And you will be unhappy with the way things are done. And that too is used by God to make you a better man and a better woman. I think at times our greatest danger is when things are going exactly the way we want them. I think our greatest danger is, we see it all throughout the scripture. Your greatest danger in life is not to be in the midst of a trial. Your greatest danger is to be surrounded with prosperity, to have everything that you've ever wanted, to have no resistance. You see the nation of Israel, their greatest difficulties, their greatest times of idolatry, their greatest times of turning away from God were in times of great prosperity. It was in trials and difficulties that break us and shape us and mold us. And I believe in seasons in our lives, whatever your persuasion may be, there is somebody in office that you don't like, that you don't want, that you don't want anything to do with them, so that God might remind you that your trust is not in human government, but in the Almighty Sovereign God, and that we are to live for him and participate in every sphere of society as unto the Lord. But ultimately, we walk into that voting box. Ultimately, we step into a school board meetings, and what? We don't trust the outcome. We trust the God of the outcome. And we live in such a way where our lives honor him. And might I just say it again? The reminder, it just thinks, you know, mind your own business, live a simple life, and love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You're not gonna go wrong living a life of agape love, even in times of great difficulty. And here God establishes with Noah the foundation.
Today on Abounding Grace, we've listened into a portion of Pastor Ed Taylor's study in Genesis. Now, if you joined us late or would just like to give this a second listen, go online to aboundinggraceradio.com. Have you had the chance to download our app? This is another great way to take in the teaching of God's Word and download it for free by searching for Ed Taylor. We're also on oneplace.com. We enjoy hearing from our listeners. Even just a quick hello telling us the station you listen to means a lot. Maybe you didn't realize it, but Pastor Ed reads them all. Let us know how we can pray for you, too. You can email us through the website at aboundinggraceradio.com. And please remember that Abounding Grace is made possible through the support of our listeners. We look to the Lord for provision. When you give a donation of $25 or more to Abounding Grace, you're invited to request a copy of Warren Wiersbe's book on being a servant of God. This is a must-read for anyone who desires to serve the Lord and be involved in ministry. In it, he invites ministry leaders to listen in on 30 short armchair chats that will no doubt encourage and inspire them for service. You might even want to go through this with your small group at church. To order a copy today, call 877-30-GRACE, 877-30-GRACE, Ordering resources like this is also super easy through our online store. Check it out at calvaryco.store. And be sure to join Pastor Ed Tender next time for more teaching from Genesis. That's right here on Abounding Grace.
This is amazing grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.